This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And hello, Hearts of Oak. Thank you so much for joining us on another news review, and I'm delighted to have TNT star for the last 2 months, leader of the Heritage Party, and that is David Curtin. David, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, no, thanks, Peter. It's really good to join you on Hearts of Oak. And yeah, I'm doing so many things at the moment. Like you said, you were with me on TNT just a couple of weeks ago, so yep. I'm really good to be on your show now.
So let me just bring up what people will get on on your Twitter page, and then just get mentioned to us about TNT, because I've certainly enjoyed that, and it does seem to be a new home of free speech, especially after all the nonsense of GB News and Talk TV and all that stuff. So there is what people will find on your page: Heritage Party leader, writer, speaker, political commentator, Christian, social conservative, pro-freedom, pro-family, pro-nation. And I love the way you put pro-life, because that's often what people are afraid of engaging with. And we've got actually one of your guests, Lewis Miller. Lewis McClatchy Miller, I think, was with you on TNT Radio a day or two ago, and she's with us on Monday. But tell us about TNT Radio and what people can get.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying doing the show. I'm now doing it 10 till 11 in the morning. Sonia Poulton's on before me. And then, you know, there's other people later in the day who are good as well. James Freeman and Johnny Vetmore's just started. So, I mean, basically what happens is I get a chance to give a speech or a monologue of the day, just talking about the issues of the day and do various cultural and social things. I mean, so today I was talking about Sir Alan Duncan. I think we're going to talk about him later, so I won't mention that too much today. I mean, yesterday I was talking about David Cameron's statement on Uganda. Again, I think we're going to talk about that in more detail later, and so on. Just various things to do with how the cultural Marxist ideology is just saturating our country at the moment, and the ridiculousness of it, and you know, just calling it out. And calling out various politicians and various things that they're doing, and just trying to put common sense points of view across. I mean, the Scottish Hate Crime Bill is another thing that we've been talking about a lot, because, as you say, TNT, like you at Hearts of Oak, we're very much for freedom of speech and would abhor anyone who is trying to take away our freedom of speech, particularly freedom of speech for people with traditional values and Christian values, conservative values, and so on, which seems to be what's going on at the moment. Then what happens in the show is, so I talk for 7 or 8 minutes, and then Gemma Cooper usually comes on to talk about the headlines of the day. So we have a bit of a conversation about the main things what we find in the papers and then in the media, you know, the news agencies as well, breaking news and things like that. And then I have a couple of guests on. And, you know, like you say, I am 100% pro-life, and I think we have to be unashamed in speaking out for being pro-life, because it is an absolute horror what is happening in this country, with 1 in 4 pregnancies ending in an abortion. And now even more than that, now that they've rolled out pills by post and made that legal after the Coronavirus Act. You know, so actually we've had a very quiet pro-life week on TNT, on my show anyway. Like you said, we've had Lewis McClatchy Miller joined me, I think, on Tuesday or Monday. And then Isabel Vaughan Spruce also joined me on Wednesday. And of course, she's very well known for being arrested twice outside an abortion center in Birmingham just for silent prayer on the public highway in England, which I never would have imagined would be something that would happen when I was younger, or even, you know, 10 years ago, but now this is the reality. And, you know, I'm really very glad to get people like that onto the show to talk about these things. And you know, obviously I'm involved in politics as well, so I hope we can actually make a change. But the first step is talking about these things.
Oh, that sounds good. And we'll touch on some politics and the state of affairs in the UK. But let's jump on. Here's the first story, and it's one of the stories you just mentioned, David. And this was David Cameron, now Lord Cameron. And said the Ugandan Anti-Homosexuality Act has increased violence and discrimination against LGBT+. I'm deeply concerned. Uganda continues to roll back human rights. And your tweet on it was the unelected UK Foreign Secretary wants more alphabet soup of letters in Africa. He needs to be gone. You've said your thoughts there fairly clearly, David, but what is it, again, is Western leaders wanting to tell other nations what they should think and how they should act?
Absolutely. This is a kind of woke cultural Marxist colonialism, isn't it? Because, you know, you have the irony is you have a lot of the woke people are continually banging on about slavery in the 18th century. And yes, that was a terrible thing, but they're trying to use that to call for reparations and to undermine our cultures in Western countries today, even though that was 200 years ago. And the British Empire did more to abolish slavery around the world than anyone had ever done in history in the 19th century and so on. But here you have the same kind of people, and that includes globalist leaders, both on the fake right, the fake conservative right, and the left, the liberal progressive left, are pushing LGBT ideology on countries that don't want it around the world. I mean, people really, I don't think, want it in this country. It's bad enough to have people in power imposing it here, but not content with imposing it here, they're actually then tying foreign aid money to taking on the LGBT agenda in African countries like Uganda. And this is being pushed by LGBT NGOs. You know, they lobby the Western governments to bring in these policies here and abroad, and to coerce people to bring this in. And obviously what's happening at the moment, where the LGBT agenda is at the moment in Western countries, is bringing in comprehensive sexuality education into schools and forcing children to learn about all kinds of sexualizing material, LGBT relationships, LGBT acts, transgenderism, confusing them with gender ideology, telling them they're not boys and girls from their biology, but they can choose what they are, and then lead them into getting mutilated later. Well, they want to push this on Africa as well. I mean, there are NGOs waiting to go into schools in Africa to bring this subject to schools in Africa as well. But, you know, Uganda in particular, I know because I've been there, is a very, very Christian country. They don't want it there. It's not part of their culture, and they're resisting this LGBT push. So I think as a reaction to the extreme propaganda and push from Western LGBT NGOs, they've introduced this Anti-Homosexuality Act. And yeah, no, it is quite harsh. There's 20 years in prison for promoting homosexuality. There is life in prison for being found engaging in homosexual acts. I mean, my view is, you know, what you do in the privacy of your own home, okay, get on with it, but stay away from the kids, and you don't promote it. You know, you don't promote this kind of lifestyle in places which can affect society and particularly affect children. But, you know, Uganda has said, no, we're not even having any of this. You know, we're going right back before, you know, even the toleration of homosexual acts in the West, because they see one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And before you know it, you've got kids being mutilated, and they don't want that. So, you know, obviously Cameron's not happy. The unelected Foreign Secretary, David Cameron, who he said is the proudest moment of his life was changing the definition of marriage in the UK to say that marriage is not just a man and a woman, but it can also be a man and a man and a woman and a woman, which is completely ridiculous. But that's the situation of law that we're in now in the UK. And yeah, obviously, you know, I would imagine he would like to see the same thing happen in Uganda, Tanzania, and other African countries as well. So yeah, that's why I wrote about this. And he needs to be gone. Number one, because he's pushing this nonsense on Africa. And number two, because he's unelected and he shouldn't be there anyway.
I love just one little thought, David. I was intrigued that it's the West telling Africa what to do and what to think. Well, why not take a pot shot at the Middle East? Why not tell the Middle East, we'll not buy any of your energy until you change? And yet it's a country that actually, countries that depend on aid actually for development, where they're the target, but actually those countries that don't depend and that we would maybe lose out from if we attack them were quiet. So it's interesting that you choose which countries to attack, and it's not a blanket. Mm.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, every June is what, LGBT Pride Month. And you see businesses change their logos every year for a whole month to rainbows and LGBT stuff and this abomination of this trans flag that has been created. But the same companies in the Middle East, there's no sign of a rainbow anywhere. They do not push LGBT on Saudi Arabia or Qatar or the United Arab Emirates or Pakistan. That's actually a very, very good point.
Yeah, I think Cameron should go and lead a Pride festival in Riyadh and see if he makes it out alive. It could be our gift to Saudi. David, continuing the theme of cultural suicide is this. This woke abomination is not our flag. And this is Team GB, the Olympic team following on from the English football team. And I mean, nothing really is more sacred in the country than your flag, your emblem, that emblem. That's what brings everyone together under one flag, irrespective of any background. So again, this continues, this attack, and I don't know what that is. It's just a bunch of wiggly lines and dots. And I just looked at it and thought, I'm very confused what this is.
I mean, this is something that, you know, it's like a piece of modern art, isn't it? Which you know, tries to take everything real and just warp it so it looks like something abstract and unreal. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, there's elements of the flag in there, the diagonals. But what is, it's not red, white, and blue. It's pink and purple and, you know, squiggly lines and dots. I mean, what on earth is it? I mean, what is going on? It's not just one thing. There's a number of different things happening at the same time. Like you said, you had the England football kit was with that abomination of the change of the St. George's cross to this pink and purple thing. You know, and then the Team GB flag comes out the next day, and it's like, well, can you not leave our country alone? Can you not leave our symbols alone? You know, the England flag is the St. George's cross, the British flag, the UK flag is the Union flag, you know, or the Union Jack if it's on the ship. Leave it as it is, and let everyone be proud of our nation, be proud of our heritage, be proud of our symbols. And what is this trying to change everything all the time? I mean, but you know, it's deeper than this, because these are just a couple of things on, you know, athletes and footballers' kits. But you know, at a granular level around the country, you know, people are trying to destroy our heritage all over the place. And if I can widen the scope of what we're thinking about, you know, the Heritage Party, now we have 10 councillors at parish and town level around the country, and where they are and other places where we're active, we see local councils deliberately leaving old buildings to go derelict, and then they say, oh well, these buildings are dangerous, we need to knock them down. And so our heritage, our history is being destroyed bit by bit by bit. And then what happens is someone comes along who's a developer, who's got a relationship with a councillor, and then they come and build a councillor, as in someone on a local council, not someone who helps you with your mental problems, by the way. Someone who then builds a 20-story block of flats which has got no soul, no character whatsoever, and then, you know, they put asylum seekers in there to live there, and it's no use to anyone in the local community. And this is the kind of attack on everything in our culture that is visual and is aesthetic, to leave us with nothing left. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, in the Gulag archipelago, in order to destroy a people, you must first sever their roots. And so if we are severed from our history, our heritage, our old buildings, our symbols, our flag, you know, these abominations that Sadiq Khan puts on the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square. So you've got Nelson's Column, and next to it is some bizarre trans woman, black, with, you know, a blue dress and bizarre balloons on it. You know, this is just there to, you know, as someone said in the Labour Party, to rub our noses in diversity, but it's actually to destroy our own culture. And this is just part of it. And, you know, what I would say to these people is, hands off our flag.
Yeah, 100%. David, you mentioned the Heritage Party and your thoughts and views on this and where they stand. I just want to check with you. The Heritage Party, you're not working with Hope Not Hate to choose your candidates, are you? Because I know other parties like to work with Hope Not Hate, but I think you've got enough backbone to actually choose your own candidates.
We choose our own candidates and we don't take any instructions from Hope Not Hate. And anybody who does is not a genuine opposition to the establishment. Let's just say that.
Good. A little word of advice to Mr. Tice, but we'll move on from that. On to this, which you also mentioned, and there are many aspects to this, but Alan Duncan faces expulsion from Tory party for attacking pro-Israel extremist conservatives. Tories announced investigation into Sir Alan Duncan 24 hours after he spoke out on Gaza in The Independent, after Independent highlighted concerns over influence of conservative Friends of Israel group. Now, this whole topic has been fascinating, and I think you've been very central on it, because I've seen people pulled one way or the other, and you've stuck with a very common sense view, maybe as a Christian, being generally pro-Israel, but that doesn't mean you excuse everything that happens. But, I mean, whatever your view is, you should be able to have diversity of opinion. I thought the Tory party was a wide church, but maybe it isn't anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not pro-Israel, I'm not pro-Palestine, I'm just pro-people. Mm. And, you know, my main concern with the Middle East is that Christians who are there, whether they're Messianic Jews or whether they're Palestinian Orthodox Christians who are Arabs, have the freedom to worship and share the gospel wherever they are. You know, I tried to avoid speaking about the Middle East until October the 7th, because I know that people have very, very strong opinions one way or the other. But I'm more concerned with the UK. I'm more concerned about this country. But now, since then, it's spilling over into this country. And, you know, I can't avoid talking about it, because whenever I go on any interview, it's almost the first thing people want to know. What do you think about Israel, Palestine, Gaza, and what's happening there? I mean, with this statement that Alan Duncan made, I think it was a whole interview he did with LBC. I've watched it. And he's making some very good points. He's saying that, look, it's against international law for Jewish settlements to be put on the West Bank. It's against the Conservatives' own party policy. But there are people who are associated with Conservative Friends of Israel who are supporting settlements in the West Bank against their party's own policy and against international law. And of course, now, after the aid workers were killed in Gaza, the Western aid workers, a lot of people are very concerned with, you know, what's happening with weapons that we are sending to Israel as this military action in Gaza escalates and escalates and escalates. You know, I'm concerned with the number of people in Gaza who've been killed, tens of thousands, and I wanted to stop, so I've called for a ceasefire. But, you know, what Alan Duncan said, I think, is very sensible, and it's a very, very good point, and he has the free speech to make it. And it's quite bizarre that you've got a Conservative Party, the powers that be in the hierarchy, who say that they support free speech, are now investigating him for free speech. We didn't say anything that was illegal. He didn't even say anything that was homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, racist, or anti-Semitic, or misogynist. He's just pointing out what people are saying in terms of policy. So, you know, this really is kind of almost, you know, totalitarian, that he's being investigated just for pointing something out, which is a very, very good point to make at this time.
Yeah, and of course, he's a kind of a grandee in the party. He was a minister, I think, for 9 or 10 years. So as someone who's respected. But yeah, have the conversation out in the open and don't start threatening, which seems to be what has happened.
Yeah.
Of course, he didn't make his complaints, or and nothing like this was discussed in Scotland. So Scotland is another area on free speech. And of course, this happened on April Fool's Day. I was on Warham talking about this, and Bannon messaged me back and said, is this a joke? I said, no, actually, it's not a joke. I know it is the 1st of April, but this story from the BBC, more than 3,000 hate crime complaints made to Scottish police since the new law was introduced on Monday, creates a new crime of stirring up hatred over protected characteristics. And of course, many people complained about whom's the use of speech about too many white people. And of course, J.K. Rowling has now got involved and called the police to arrest her. But it's the SNP, obviously it's a party that came out of wanting independence for Scotland, but now seems to have gone on a different track, which is a full-on woke agenda. But what are your thoughts on this, David? It seems as though none of us can actually go north of the border for fear of being arrested now.
Well, you have to be careful in England as well, because apparently this law, under this law, Scotland is claiming jurisdiction over anything that anyone writes anywhere in the world that can be read in Scotland. Yeah. So if I write something in England, in theory, if someone in Scotland can read it on social media and makes a complaint, I could be arrested and then extradited to Scotland and face charges there. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous there. But I mean, this is the path the SNP has been on for a long time. And, you know, it's a very different party now than when it was started by Jim Sillars, I think, in the 1980s, when it was just about independence. Mm. And, you know, at that time, Scotland, you know, it was part of the EU. The UK was in the EU as well. So coming out of the UK probably would have meant they came out of the EU too. Now it's bizarre because the SNP wants to come out of the UK but go back into the EU. So they want to be, you know, come out of one union where they've got a lot of freedom and go into another union where they don't have any freedom at all. But as well as this, they're pushing all of this woke agenda, the Agenda 2030, the cultural Marxism. They are a far left, progressive left cultural Marxist party, and they're introducing all of these restrictions on freedom of speech, but they don't particularly seem that concerned about real crime going on. I mean, some of them are actually under investigation themselves for financial irregularities, as we know. So, you know, that says a lot about them. You know, Humza Yousaf, I mean, he was, the funny thing about this is the vast majority of complaints under his new hate crime law have been against him himself. But I understand the police said they're not going to investigate him for his speech where he spat out the word white as though he really hates white people, because they say they're not going to apply the law retrospectively. And that's a good principle. You know, we need to stick to that. A government can't bring in a law and then arrest people for what they did beforehand when the law didn't exist. But yeah, J.K. Rowling is not going to be investigated, apparently, which is a good thing. But, you know, she is a very famous person. She is well known. And I wonder if, obviously there would be global repercussions to the Scottish regime if they arrested J.K. Rowling and charged her for saying that men are not women if they, you know, mutilate their bodies or whatever, which is what she said, which is absolutely true. But I wonder if that's also going to extend to somebody who is a normal person, you know, not so well known, not so, you know, globally famous, not so rich as J.K. Rowling. If a normal person says something in a bar or a pub or in a comedy show in the end of a Fringe, and someone complains, you know, will they also have the police say, okay, well, we're going to use common sense, we're not going to arrest them, or will they go after them as well? Because we just don't know. And this law then puts in place, you know, all kinds of uncertainty, which means people are going to be afraid and they're going to censor themselves, which is a horrible thing. And it shouldn't be happening.
And David, I think I've concern for the police, the bobbies on the beat that actually have to police this, because they've been given this ludicrous piece of legislation and they're the ones that have to police it. And just like you mentioned about praying outside abortion clinics, prayer now being legal, actually it'll be the police that have to go out and carry out this. And you've got a woke agenda at the top, but I think probably a lot of bobbies on the beat are fairly traditional, normal people. And so it'll be interesting how it plays out, actually, the police policing this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a mix, isn't it? Because you do have some police who are really good and who are doing their job for the very best of reasons, because they want to catch criminals and keep the nation safe and protect people who are vulnerable. But then you have others who are narcissists and psychopaths and activists who are going in to do this. I mean, remember that police officer in West Yorkshire who got the name, what was it, Nanny?
Nanny, yes. Lesbian Nan.
That lesbian Nana, that's the one. Remember her? I mean, I wouldn't want to meet her on a dark night, let me tell you. I would, you know, so you have people like that as well. So it is a mix. And but, you know, obviously we want to get more people, like normal people who have got their heads screwed on and want to keep people safe, and fewer people like lesbian Nana.
100%. And I think if you phone 999, a police officer arrives with a rainbow lanyard, and probably phone 999 again and say, yeah, you want a different one, a better one. David, let's jump over onto Ukraine. And it's this NATO comment from US Secretary of State Blinken. And he has said NATO, Ukraine will be a NATO member. And this was on Thursday, and he said Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit, which is in Brussels, is to build a bridge to that membership. And it kind of discussion, I think, has been part of the reason that we are in the current situation with Russia and Ukraine. And it seems as though our leaders are learning. They just want to exasperate the situation and annoy the Russian bear even more. But what were your thoughts when you saw this?
Well, it's absolutely insane. I mean, NATO countries, the NATO leadership has been pushing for this for over 10 years from the coup in 2014, instigated by Victoria Nuland and the CIA, where they overturned a democratically elected government of Yanukovych, put in Poroshenko, later on Zelensky, because they want to bring NATO into the EU. Sorry, the Western leaders want to bring Ukraine into the EU and into NATO. But of course, they know this is Putin's red line. You know, it would be far better off to leave Ukraine as a buffer zone between NATO and Russia, and then to continue some kind of economic partnership with Russia and the West. But that's not what's happened. And, you know, after 2 years, and 500,000 Ukrainian men having died, and, you know, I have no sympathy for the neo-Nazis of the Azov battalion, but the vast majority of people now who are dying are people who have been press-ganged into joining the military and then being sent to the front line, the meat grinder, against their will, and then they're dead within a few hours. For Blinken to say this, it's just going to lead to more dead Ukrainians. They're the biggest losers in this. And this needs to stop. And it's not going to stop by someone making absolutely idiotic statements like this, which is going to continue to poke the bear and stoke up tensions and escalate the situation. We need to sit around the table, end this, and find a way to get back to peace. And, hopefully Donald Trump or someone will come in as president. I mean, Trump has said, if he comes in as president, he'll end this in 24 hours. And, you know, hopefully he'll get rid of people like Antony Blinken as well.
Oh, yeah. And Trump normally actually can do what he says. And what is it? The art of the deal was his book. But David, the thought is actually it's the West carrying the killing on, because the West has supplied the munitions for this to carry on. If they weren't doing that, this would have been over a long, long time ago.
Well, this is the irony or the contradiction in the statement that Antony Blinken said. He said, "Oh, I don't think we're at war with Russia, but we're going to carry on giving weapons to Ukraine. We're not going to put NATO troops there, but we're going to carry on supplying arms. But we're not at war. Well, yes, you are. If you give someone a gun and they shoot someone with it, who's responsible? The person that shoots or the person who gives the person who shoots the gun? Well, they're both responsible.
Yep.
Yes, Zelensky is responsible. And Victoria Nuland and Biden and Johnson and Truss and Blinken and everybody else in the West who has supported this military action over the last 2 years is responsible. And they need to all be gone. You know, I mean, I'm one of two party leaders in the UK who is calling, who's been calling for de-escalation since the beginning. George Galloway's the other. And I'm looking to get candidates elected in the general election so that we can get rid of this uniparty in the UK that all seems to be hell-bent on escalating war in Ukraine. And, you know, the same thing needs to happen in the USA as well. We need to get somebody in who is going to de-escalate the situation in Ukraine, because it's no good. It doesn't serve any purpose for anybody who's a normal citizen in the West. It's just sending more of our taxpayers' money to kill more Russians, to kill more Ukrainians. And yeah, some people who are shareholders of global corporations that make weapons will benefit. But, you know, I don't care about them.
Yeah, war is a very profitable industry for those in the military regime and businesses. David, we'll get on the politics next. Let's run past this story, and then we'll jump into the state of affairs at the moment politically. And this is, well, we may not have any elections if this happens. The headline is, this could be 100 times worse than COVID. Bird flu warning from scientists who say half of infections with H5N1 in people are fatal, as White House says it's monitoring the situation. And they, I think I read yesterday that the largest producer of eggs factory in America, all the chickens had to be killed because they said they had bird flu. But Dave, is this just fear porn, I wonder? We've kind of seen all this before, and I think we've become less susceptible to this now.
Look, I saw this story and it just made me yawn. It's the same old, you know, we've had monkeypox, and then there's the Marburg virus, and then there's Alaska flu and disease X. And now this is the return of H5N1, which we had, you know, in 2009 or something before. And again, it's experts in inverted commas say, this could be bad. It might be bad. And, you know, how many human beings have actually contracted this? I mean, I don't quite get this, because they're saying half of the human beings have contracted this have died. But then so far, they're also saying, well, this hasn't actually jumped yet into human beings. So there's a big contradiction at the heart of the story if you read it. So, you know, I mean, even if there are some people who've got it, you know, it's only a tiny number of people, and, you know, they're saying it's jumped from birds to some mammals but not yet to humans. So this again, yeah, exactly as you said, it's more fear porn. It's more people trying to stoke up the idea that there's going to be a second pandemic, and, you know, they're bringing this back again and again and again. And I think some people actually do hope that something will catch again, that they can make everyone afraid and lock everyone up again. But in the meantime, this sells papers. It sells advertising. So yeah, the media outlets are going to run with stories like this, and we just have to just look at them and go, yeah, I don't even bother taking the mick anymore, because it just, I'm done with these. I've had enough of them. They're just, you know, rubbish, absolute rubbish.
No, but it does make you realize, David, the power of these industries. The last story, the military industry and those military companies, they need a good war somewhere. And when one is running out, then they need another one to keep that business. And this story is about basically Big Pharma, which is one of the most influential industry lobby groups known to man, I think, from looking at certainly at the US. So I think people are woken up to the power of the industry, and they exist not necessarily to make us better, but actually to provide solutions for problems they create in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Big Pharma can get government to make an order for 100 million doses of the latest experimental injection or, you know, flu shot or COVID shot or bird flu shot, you know, and that's just in the UK, then the billions of orders around the world, they're going to make tens or hundreds of billions of pounds, dollars and euros in profit. Yeah, so absolutely, you know, that's absolutely right. They would want something like this to take off, and they would want some people in government or governments somewhere around the world to place some orders with them so that they can get profit. But yeah, we I think our job is to ridicule these stories and to kill them at birth before they spread.
Completely. David, let's look at politics, the state of the UK. And it is this fear from the Tories, formerly known as a Conservative Party. And this is poll putting Tories on 98 seats shows real danger of public, real anger of public, says Ian Duncan Smith. Former Tory leader says voters had good reason to be angry, annoyed and fed up with this party. I don't know whether he's the only actually Tory MP that realised that people have good reasons to be angry, because no other MP from the Tory party seems to give credit to the public for the anger they feel.
Yeah, I mean, there's poll after poll after poll now showing that Tories are 25 plus percentage points behind Labour. I have no idea how Labour is so popular. I think it's probably because the Tory vote has collapsed. I don't think any more people are going to vote for Labour, but I think the Tories have lost two-thirds or more of their voters and their support, and they're either going to vote for nobody or, you know, just or an independent or someone, maybe challenge a party like the Heritage Party, I hope. But yeah, I mean, Ian Duncan Smith, I mean, to come out with this now, it's a little bit belated. I mean, I could have told him that 10 years ago, pretty much. They have been a disaster. They haven't done Brexit properly, which was the number one thing, that a number one reason why people voted for them in 2019. It was those three words: get Brexit done. And we haven't got it done properly because we are tied into a comprehensive trade agreement with them that ties us into climate alarmism nonsense and a level playing field and keeps us adherent to some rules, particularly in Northern Ireland. So Northern Ireland has got to have dynamic equivalents. So they have got to bring new EU directives and regulations into force in Northern Ireland. And then if Great Britain wants to trade freely with Northern Ireland, we have to take on those EU rules and regulations and directives as well. I mean, we don't, which means that then we have a border down the Irish Sea and our country's effectively been split. But as well as that, we've got mass immigration, and Rishi Sunak pathetically stands in front of a sign saying stop the boats like he's an activist. I mean, sorry, Rishi, you're the prime minister. You're the one who's supposed to be sorting it out. You're the one who's supposed to stop the boats, not telling somebody else to stop the boats. It's just absolutely pathetic, as well as adherence to all the net zero nonsense and the climate alarmism. And you know, now they're doing a big bait and switch. It's like saying Labour are saying they want to introduce a lot of net zero by 2030, and the Tories are saying, oh, we're not going to do it by then, we're going to do it by 2035, as though that's any different to the direction of travel we're going and the end point and the end result. And of course, there's all this wokery coming in, restrictions on freedom of speech. Yes, it's not quite as bad as we've got in Scotland and Wales, but we do have this sexuality education in schools, which is warping the minds of our children. And we have mountains of national debt, and we see the tyranny of the last 4 years with lockdowns, which were imposed by them, of course, with the full support of the Labour Party as well. So, yeah, all of this means that, I think they are dead in the water. You know, they're going to have the worst election result in hundreds of years, and hopefully the party will just completely collapse and disintegrate. And then it will make room for a party that's truly conservative and common sense. You know, I will always speak for my own party, of course, the Heritage Party. And we got a manifesto, which is, it's just like what everyone thought was common sense 30 or 40 years ago. before all of the parties, Tory, Labour, Lib Dem, Green, completely abandon common sense and they're just working in lockstep together to ruin our nation at the moment.
100%. Let me just show this chart, which was one of the other suggestions. Labour gained 400 seats, the other one was Labour gained 450 seats, and that would double their amount of seats. Conservatives would be down to 155. That's an utter collapse. The SNP falling back, but the country changing in all those red wall seats that Conservatives supposedly took in 2019 on that wave of euphoria, I guess, of Brexit and of Boris delivering. Look how that turned out. But yeah, the country will be changed. But again, I don't think there's really much change. It's just a speeding up of the woke agenda. This is not Conservative pro-Britain or Labour-Liberal self-hating. This is actually, they both seem to hit this country.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way I see it is the fake Conservatives are destroying the country slowly. Labour will destroy the country quickly. Yeah. You know, they're both going to the same destination. It doesn't matter which one you choose. And, you know, I have conversations with people that say, well, oh, this is really worries me. The Conservatives are going to lose lots of seats. It's going to let Labour in. Well, I think, you know, and I say to them, well, look, the destination is the same. You need to stop voting for someone who's bad in order to keep someone worse out and start voting for someone who's good. But, you know, I look at those charts you showed and, you know, one of them says the Tories will get 155 seats. I would be surprised if they get 15. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know how they're going to win, you know, anywhere. You know, name any constituency. I mean, even in their heartlands, wherever, you know, Lincolnshire or Worcestershire or West Sussex, you know, even there, I think that they're gone because people are just so disgusted with them because they are completely anti-conservative. They're not conservative at all. And everybody can see that, including their own core supporters who are not going to vote for them anymore.
Yeah, my surprise is that people are still voting for them. Mm. Not that they'll just do that badly, but how is anybody out there, a single person, voting for the Tories? And of course, just to mention the Heritage Party again, the Heritage Party launched it end of 2020, and it's heritageparty.org, and people can, I'm assuming, sign up for newsletter for updates. Tell us how people watching UK-based actually want something different, how they can actually be involved with the Heritage Party.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can join the party on heritageparty.org. It's £25 for annual membership. And if you do that, you can come to the meetups and join a branch and, you know, get involved in things that we're doing. You can also just sign up for our newsletter and we send out regular newsletters about what we're doing. And you can also apply to be a candidate as well on our website. So if you're a member, you can become a candidate. And of course, I'm looking for candidates to stand everywhere in the general election, if at all possible, because I'd like to make a proper challenge to the Uniparty in the general election later this year. And you can read our manifesto there as well. And most people who read the manifesto really like it. So that's for free. You can read that on our website too.
Okay, well, certainly standing is something that if our viewers want to actually make a difference, that is certainly an option, and encourage the viewers and listeners to go on the website and consider that. David, last story, immigration. I can't believe it's taken us to the end of the program to get an immigration story, but it is the gold at the end of the rainbow in Wales, and Wales pays huge sum to illegal migrants in nonsensical labour scheme. This is the Daily Express here. Tories warn the handouts will act as a pull factor, encouraging people to make the perilous journey across the English Channel in small boats. And that's illegal immigrants will be eligible for £1,600 a month under their universal basic income plan, in effect. I think the boats would have to make a longer journey to get all the way to Wales, but I guess they just march through England. But it is this, Tim, it's stories like this, policies like this, that actually mean people put their lives at risk, and it makes this people smuggling industry so lucrative. It is the politicians that are to blame.
Absolutely. I mean, I heard this story before because, I mean, I'm familiar with the story. I think they started this scheme in 2022, so it's been around for a while, but obviously now we're coming up to 2 years of them paying £1,600 a month of universal basic income to young adults who have come out of care, who were in the system, migrants who come out of care in the system, and young migrants. And so, yeah, of course, this is a pull factor. I mean, I don't blame anyone coming to the country if they know that they're going to get this amount of money, because you're set up for life, aren't you? I mean, you come here, you go to Wales, and then given this amount of money a month, you don't even need to work. It's lovely. I would do that if I were in some of their situations. I mean, I don't blame them, which is why it's absolutely so ridiculous, because this is a reward for jumping the system, jumping the queue, and not coming to the country legally under legal schemes where you have to apply to work in a certain sector and to have a job before you come. So it's a ridiculous system, you know, as same as all of the rewards for bogus asylum seekers who come across the channel, get escorted to Dover, then get escorted around the country to a lovely luxury hotel where they can stay on full board, and then they get a certain stipend every month as well. So this is all being paid for by you and me and our viewers and British taxpayers. And it's completely wrong, and it needs to stop. And, you know, this is why migrants don't go to Russia, for example, or they don't go to Argentina, because they're not going to get a reward for getting there. But they do come here because they get a financial reward. And that's just basic economics. So obvious. It needs to stop.
It is. I'm glad the Welsh government have got money to grow on trees, because I've tried that. It's never worked. But I'm glad they've finally broken that and got free money. David, it's so good to have you on. Obviously, people can find you tntradio.live every morning, 10 a.m. or Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. UK time, 5 a.m. Eastern time. So our US audience, if you're early riser, you can catch David on tntradio.live. And of course, heritageparty.org. Do have a look at that and sign up and consider being part of what David is building. But David, thank you as always for your time.
No, thanks, Peter. Really great to join you on the show.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.